All right, guys, welcome to Bad Science. I'm here with my sister, Abigail Edinburgh. How's it going, Abby?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So we're talking about Finding Nemo today. You like Finding Nemo?
Love it.
Okay, what's your favorite fish or your favorite sea creature?
Octopus.
Octopus, why?
8 legs. It's the coolest ever.
You want 8 legs yourself?
Yeah, of course. Why not?
That's a good point. What do you think the top things it would help you with are?
Walking faster.
Yep.
Cooking.
Okay, sure.
Carrying babies.
Carrying babies.
Yes.
How many times do you carry a baby right now?
So many times.
So many times. What are you doing that you're carrying babies?
In the street.
In the street? Doesn't make it any better.
Say hi to babies. Okay.
All right. Anyways, let's get the show started, huh?
I got a PhD carrying babies.
What? What does that mean? Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight? Science. Hello and welcome to Bad Science. I am your host, Ethan Edinburgh. Today we're talking about Finding Nemo, an amazing Pixar film with one of the stars of GLOW. You may know her as Melrose or Melanie Rosen, but to us, she's Jackie Tone.
Like Jackie Tone.
Jackie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Everybody always calls her Melanie Rosen, which that's of course her name.
Okay.
But it's like, she's Melrose always to everyone.
Right.
And I love, everyone's always like, so tell us about Melanie.
Okay. So talking with us about this absolutely terrific film is a marine biologist and biomechanist, Dr. Misty Peg Tran.
Hello there.
How's it going?
It's going.
Did I get that pronunciation?
You totally nailed it. You're pretty much the only person I've ever heard that actually said it right.
Well, I cheated. We talked before
That's true.
A little bit. But anyways, I just wanted to first start out with your guys' thoughts on the movie in general. Jackie and I watched it together on Saturday, so I kind of know that we were both blown away, even though we've seen it before. But there was a lot of times where we were just looking at each other like
crying.
Whoa. I don't remember this being so good.
Oh my god. First of all, I think I'm just in a new emotional place. Like, I think for a very big portion of my life, I was like real, I mean, I still am, but I was so jokey to cover everything, and I'm getting to a place where just I'm definitely crying more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so anxious watching Finding Nemo. It was like this. It was like it was live action and it was humans. And I know that's the point, to really tug at your heartstrings.
Yeah, you made a few comments about their eyes in particular, which I really, I don't know, I didn't realize when I was a kid, but so much emotion is in their eyes. It's the fish's eyes.
And
yeah,
I was just watching it just like, I mean, gasping, and I was clutched my chest a couple times, and I just kept going like, I'm really anxious. This is making me really like, it was so emotional for me. That was my overarching experience of watching that movie, and I think that maybe more speaks to the emotional place I'm in right now, more so than the movie. But I think it's a double whammy because the movie obviously does an incredible job.
Misty, would you?
Pixar would be happy that you said that.
Yeah.
So it's obviously one of my favorites. It was one, I wouldn't say that got me into marine biology because I was already sort of on my path, but it was definitely one where I was like, they actually got things right in this movie. So,
nice.
I kind of love Finding Nemo and Finding Dory. I think they're two of my favorites.
Admittedly, I've never seen Finding Dory.
Ethan and I, next Saturday.
We'll do a bonus. Yeah,
we're saying we're already planning our joint viewing.
It's
yes. Yeah, let's all get together and watch Finding Dory and do another podcast. But today it's all about Nemo. And I was wanting to ask you if you cried, or did you watch it recently, like in the past few days?
So I watched it last night again.
Okay. And did you, waterworks any?
No, because I think I was all cried out from watching Netflix. But
other shows.
I mean, it was actually more of like, I was super excited because I was watching it without my kids, and so it was like I got to experience it in a different way. I did kind of cry a little bit on a couple scenes with
Go ahead.
It not being some things correct, and that's like from the science standpoint, but
more aggravation cry.
Yeah, it was more like I forgot about the Darla character, and so
the which one?
Oh, Darla? The little girl, right?
Oh,
I think her name's Darla,
with the braces?
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think when I was done, I was just sort of terrified. Right?
Yeah. It is scary. And that's one of the themes, I think, in the film, is that they're trying, like, they repeat fish are friends, not food, a bunch of times. Yeah. And they really, I don't know, like, hammer home this idea that we should treat fish better and the ocean better, but in subtle ways, which I thought was great.
The hammerhead hammers home.
The hammerhead hammers it home that fish are not food. They are friends. Yeah, I was asking about which parts you cried, because I feel like the title of this film is perfect, Finding Nemo, because the part that we both were tearing up at least the most was when he found Nemo, when Marlin and Nemo get together. It was such a, I don't know.
And I just remember thinking like 75 times, like, he doesn't find him yet again. Like, he doesn't find him again now? Like, right. I kept being like, oh, this is the part where he, oh, thank God, I'm just exhausted from this. And then he goes into the little drain pipe, and I'm like, now he's going to go into the sewer, and he's not going to find him again.
Oh,
and
man.
Then they find him, and then they're in the net, and I'm like, now he doesn't get him again. Now he's in his little power flipper. Oh, okay, guys.
Lucky flipper.
And also, did you notice how that flipper, anytime you saw Nemo, you heard the slight brrrr
of
his little flipper going fast?
Yeah.
And that just kept making me cry.
It's just too adorable.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I want to start out with a game. What a fun way to start here, which I'm calling the Clown Fishy Quiz.
The Clown Fishy Quiz.
So here's the first question. How many species of clownfish are there?
Oh, I know. 16.
16. Not a bad guess.
I actually don't know. I would say about 32.
Ooh, much closer guess. 28 to 30 is the answer. So Misty won.
So cool. Of course, yeah. But guys,
Jackie, zero.
No amount. Can we swear on this podcast?
Fuck yeah. Mm.
No amount of wrong seems to be able to fuck with my conviction. Did you notice my? Oh, 16 for sure. Like it's
right.
It's so much more fun to guess that way.
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, with fish biology, you can actually kind of do that because it's always changing and they're always shrinking the numbers and then expanding the numbers. And so we actually don't really know how many of everything there is. I mean,
great. Nobody's
like,
wrong.
There's just a third species of mantis that just came out like 2 years ago, we described. So, I mean,
Wait. Let's pause here for a second.
Whoa.
There were two species of manta rays,
yes.
And now there's a third.
Now there's a third.
Do they look like just alike?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's very
what's
not
the difference?
Casual. Like, yeah.
Genetics, mostly.
Okay.
And then, you know, sort of where they are and how they live life and how they reproduce.
Okay, we're going to get into it because I have a manta ray question. There's a manta ray character, which I loved.
There's not.
Whoa, what is it? The other one? What's it?
It's an eagle ray. Spotted eagle ray.
Eagle ray.
Yeah.
Spotted eagle ray.
Yeah.
That was my second guess.
I know, and it's weird because I'm over here going, it's obviously a spotted eagle ray. I'm embarrassed.
What a dipshit.
I can recognize the difference.
Yeah, spotted eagle ray.
Him.
Court.
Right?
Let's go.
Sorry, I'm a big Dumbo. that's what my mom said. Okay, so no, she's so super sweet. How long is a clownfish? In inches.
I wanted to answer so quick, but then I thought, wait, let me
take
think
your time,
about it.
Okay, nobody
time.
Measures any fish with inches.
Okay. Sorry.
Centimeters.
The internet did. We can translate after.
Okay.
A clownfish, from my long history of measuring clownfish with both tape measures, rulers.
Sure.
Is it a compass? What's the round one? The protractor?
Protractor,
I've measured them with protractors before. Mm-hmm. I like to get the arc of sort of.
I think that's what marine biologists do. They jump in the water with protractors.
Yes,
yeah.
Protractors,
I get
always.
Compasses or compass rows.
Okay, so your guess, how many inches?
My answer is compass rows. Can I ask you guys a question? And this shouldn't be on the podcast. How many centimeters in an inch?
2.5, I believe.
What?
2.5 centimeters an inch? Oh, okay. That's
my God. I was...
Not going to be my guess.
Now you have to put it in the podcast because I remembered it.
Yeah, okay. That's
yeah,
a good
right?
fact.
Misty remembered. So 2.5 centimeters. So I was thinking a clownfish is like... They're little, so I was going to say like an inch or two. So centimeters, I would say six, you know, five or six.
So when they're small, they're little, but then they can get pretty big.
So Nemo, you're probably right. Yeah.
I'm imagining Nemo. But Marlin doesn't even feel that big.
How
yeah,
big?
Marlin's like in the, you know, 4 to 7, 8, 9 inches, depending on the species.
The internet said 5 inches, but I'm sure you're more accurate than the internet.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's
pretty
that.
Big.
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah.
But guys, can I ask you something?
Yeah, little Jackie.
Okay. Why is Nemo's eyes so nice and cheeks so puffy and such a nice man? I love Nemo. That was my voice the whole movie. I was like, look at Nemo's cheeks. Like, I don't know where I'm regressing back to, what's happening. But when I think of Nemo's eye shape and his dumb fucking little dippy fin.
Yeah, she says that with love, by the way.
oh, it's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, hi, Nima. Like, that's what happens to me, and I wanted to express that.
I think you kind of sound like Nima. We'll have an audio clip later, but I feel like you're getting close, maybe.
Oh, I love him so much.
Okay. During a full moon, how many eggs can a female clownfish lay? Because there's a scene in the opening where there's a bunch of eggs.
Oh, no. Coral,
yeah. Sad end to Coral there early. But, so yeah, do you have a guess on how many eggs?
All the fish except Nemo.
Nemo.
Yeah, I have a very educated guess, of course, from all of the... My long history of... I keep saying the exact term. My long history of studying clownfish, their eggs, their mating
protractors,
rituals,
marine biology.
Compass
rose. She counted the eggs.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
140.
140.
So depending on the species, between about 500 and 1,500 or so.
Wow.
Eggs.
Yeah, it's exactly... I have 1,000 on here. So that's, you know, perfect answer,
exact
I believe.
Answer.
Yeah. And it says that most of them survive.
Nailed it.
It says that most of them live and hatch and...
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Minus Nemo would not have.
Why wouldn't?
Fin.
Oh.
That you love so much.
If they have a small fin, then...
He was probably better off in the tank.
Whoa. guys, that's all the time we have. Misty just said Nemo was better off in a fish tank.
Wow. Any couples in the audience? Just panicking.
Where are you from, Misty?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Woo. Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense because he's going to be more prone to...
He's
attack.
He's totally going to get eaten, but, you know.
Okay, well, then that goes right into a good question that I had, because I was asking about defense mechanisms and stuff, like how would clownfish defend themselves against an attacker, and I came across a bunch of information about how they have a symbiotic relationship with anemone.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to just ask you about that.
It's actually pronounced anemone.
Right, which I do have a clip of Nemo trying to pronounce it, which is funny.
And I'm gritting my teeth.
So yeah, is that the only way they have to protect themselves?
No, so clownfish are actually pretty aggressive towards other fish, and they'll come out of the anemone and they'll like attack the other fishes.
What does attack look like? Do they have teeth?
Like chomp
they
them?
Do have little teeth, and they'll come out and they'll take little bites and nips and just harass another fish until it basically gets the hint and leaves, right? But, I mean, they've got stakes in the game. They want that anemone for themselves, mm-hmm. and it's their symbiotic relationship, and like other clownfish will come in and try to take an anemone, and so a bigger clownfish can come out and just like brute attack another anemone, or another anemone fish, that's another name for clownfish.
Gotcha. And is that the only one that's referred to as anemone fish?
For the most part, because that's the only one that really has that relationship with the anemone.
Wow. And so let me get
amazing,
this straight.
Because where does that even come? That's just that's just in their DNA to be like, I'm this fish that hangs out with this anemone. That's insane.
Yeah. And it stings like pretty much everything else, right?
Yeah. So, you know when you go to the tide pool and you put your finger in an anemone?
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever done
that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
every
course.
Kid has done that at some point, right?
Yeah, we're freaks.
And so it kind of sticks onto your finger. So your skin is actually just too thick for it to pierce. But if you're a fish, it's like...
Thinner skin.
Needles through your skin,
whoa.
Right? And so lots of needles all over it. So, they actually... They're not... immune to the anemone right away, which is why in that first, the beginning, you see them going in and out and in and out and in and out. And so what they're actually doing is they're sort of coating their entire skin with those stingers so that they become immune.
Wow. So it was like subliminally scientifically accurate, because in the movie, he's kind of doing it as a game of like crossing the street.
Yeah.
He's showing Nemo like, we go in, we go out. We go in, we make sure nobody's coming. We go out.
Yeah, turns out there's a good reason to do that.
Yeah, wow.
So they're thickening their skin.
Yeah, and if they're gone too long, like if they get in a fight and they get pushed out, then they will lose that ability to not be stung by that anemone. And then they have to work it back again by, you know, 1,000 stings to get back in.
Wow.
Whoa. And then once they're homeless, the sad day, did they just get eaten?
No, they can hide in coral and until they find another anemone. But
okay. So then the bully, the brute clown comes by and is like, yo, it's my house now, dude. And then the little guy's got to go and find another place. That can just keep happening.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Don't be the little fish.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Very cool. Okay, so I wanted to ask, in the beginning, we are introduced to a lot of different species, different fish. One of them, which is kind of like a little goof moment in the movie, has eyes only on one side and can't see what's going on the other side. And I thought that was funny and was curious if that's a real fish and how many are like that.
Yeah, so that's, you guys eat halibut, yes?
Sure.
Yes. So that's what halibut look like.
Oh.
And so they are like a crazy fish. So halibut, flounders, right, turbots, they're all in the sort of same same family. And what happens is 10 days into life, right, they swim in like a normal fish. And then 10 days in, they lay down on the bottom and their head starts to deform. So their eyes migrate to the other side
of the head. Jackie's leaving.
And she's gone.
Their eyes pop to one side of their
eyes migrate
head?
To the side of the head.
After 10 days?
Yes.
I want everyone to know this is the first time on Bad Science anyone's done a lap. And she's got the U.
What are you talking about? What? It's normal for 10 days,
yes.
And then its eyes
migrate across its head. It's actually like the meanest trick I give to my ichthyology class is I'll give them one of these fish and say, dissect it and tell me where the bones are, because it's all warped and crazy. And so it's like the most impossible thing. So that's
like
kind of what I do to
fish.
Grad 100%. Students to like, it's a hazing.
Man,
right?
And I thought it was a dumb question. I'm so glad I asked.
Not a dumb question at all. Yeah.
Whoa.
So every time you eat halibut now, you're just going to think that you're eating this thing that, like, totally changes.
Also known as me never eating halibut again.
Yeah, and how come, I just feel like that's so rare that an animal will change its...
That's what I was going to say.
Think about butterflies, right?
Oh, yeah, good
right?
call.
For me, the wig came from not that it has two eyes on the side of his head, which also is like, whoa, that's crazy, mm-hmm. but that for 10 days it doesn't.
It's normal.
And then it's all like, pop, pop. And then his eyes pop out just by its like
so
in my
is
brain,
that
it's
on
like
purpose, like DNA-wise or, you know, hereditary-wise? Do they do that because it helps them? Or is that some sort of weird accident?
Evolutionarily, probably not a weird accident, right? Because if
right.
it was, they would get eaten and it wouldn't survive. So
okay.
it's definitely helpful. What's kind of crazy about it is that they... So when it migrates and it flips onto its side, it lives its life on its side for the rest of its life, right?
Oh.
So that's when you saw the fish buried. It was buried on its side, but which is now its top because it's switched, right? And
oh,
so, like...
Man.
One of its fins is still on the bottom of it, and the other one is on the top. And so now it's living life in this all crooked way.
If this is some weird prank, Misty.
Not even, but, you know, it makes it cryptic, right? Because now it can lay in the sand, and it's totally flat, and it has the same sort of coloration as the sand, so it totally blends in. And these things are predators. So as soon as another fish comes over it, it's not seeing it. It's minding its own business, and whop, it gets
oh,
it.
Oh, smart.
Wowie,
got it.
Zowie. Pumpkin Powie. I cannot believe that.
Okay, that is incredible. I love that. So here's another one. Now I feel like no matter what I ask, it doesn't matter. Let's go. Okay, so I had a question about the ocean mines. There's a scene, you know, where there's a ton of these ocean mines sticking up from the ground, and they all explode with the sharks. And so I was just wondering if you know, is that...
I do not swim in mines.
Okay, so I'm glad you don't.
Okay.
But how rare is that there's like sections of the sea that are dangerous? Like
no
that?
Idea how, if there are landmines in the... I mean, okay. I assume they're getting that from somewhere, but like...
Just don't know.
I swim in safe places to do my stuff. That seems like a really bad place for a marine biologist to go. So.
And when you go in there, are you doing like a tank and you're in there for hours? Like how?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not in mines.
Right, sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not in mines, probably a good
so you
move.
Scuba dive?
Yeah.
Is that scary?
Can be.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you had a close call?
No. And I'm kind of mad about that, right? So I'm clearly a marine
ideal.
Biologist, and I study sharks as my like bread and butter. And so here off the coast of California, actually, we have like the prime area for white sharks. So if you've ever been in the water off of our coast, you've been close, like within 50 yards of a white shark.
Wow.
A baby, probably. So baby is under 10 feet.
Mm.
And then they switch and eat mammal. But... Yeah, and so we have them all over the coast. I mean, I see them when I'm out boating, but whenever I have been under, I've never seen a white shark. And it's like,
whoa.
It irks me.
Are you in a cage?
No.
Aren't you supposed to be in a cage so
well,
sharks
so they're babies.
Eat your head?
They're babies.
Babies.
So they eat fish until they're past 10 feet, and then they like swim off towards Hawaii to go and feed on seals.
Yeah. And the cages are really for the wuss marine biologists, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're doing to them, but yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so I wanted to ask about sharks, so I'm glad you brought it up. They are...
Seamless transition.
They are, yeah. Everything I do is so professional.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we talk about sharks, can we just talk, because you were in the beginning about the eggs.
Right.
And so I just want to make sure people know, like, the whole coral and marlin thing would never have happened because coral, so the female clownfish are actually bigger than the males.
Mm.
And clownfish switch their hermaphrodites. So they start off as males and then the biggest one turns into a female, right? So
what?
So really, marlin would have been the female. And when coral died, then Nemo would have would have become the mate.
Wait.
Right?
So and when do they...
Nemo would have become the mate of the, of the dad mom of the... Rewind.
But I mean,
so
sharks.
If Coral,
we are ruining this film.
Oh my god, sharks. So yeah, so when Coral died,
Coral should have been bigger.
Coral should have been bigger.
Female, right?
But let's just say Coral died.
Yeah.
And then Marlin would have become
the female.
Yeah. Wait, even if
and
the eggs were already laid?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then Marlin would become the female, and then Nemo would have become his dad's mate.
Yeah.
Who he would have become now his mom?
His dad would now be his mom,
it's
and
like a weird
and
Shakespearean
would be the dad
play going on.
Yeah,
wow.
Right.
It's Kardashian Jenner in nature.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just thought you might like that with the halibut. It makes it weirder.
Oh no, I love this. I had no idea about this. So wait, is it just to make more fish that they change?
No, gender? it's they all start out as male, so they're what's called sequential hermaphrodites, which means that like it's kind of like a harem, right? So that it's like one female to a whole bunch of males.
Well, then they're not all male if there's one female. I'm not challenging you. I'm trying to understand.
So they all start off as males, and then the biggest and the strongest becomes the female.
And then the harem moment happens.
Right.
Oh my god.
Bonkers right
this
now.
This really is bonkers.
And what a weird film it would have been if they actually went by, right?
Right.
Okay. Now I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that, though.
Yeah.
It's much more
Clockwork
sweet.
Clockwork Nemo.
Oh, man. All right. Clockwork Orange clownfish.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm just playing around, guys. Okay, so can we hop back to sharks?
Yes, please.
Okay, now that we've covered this extraordinarily strange plot point that we missed.
Clownfish.
Clownfish, joke's on you.
Are you just watching this movie just shaking your head?
No, because I actually think they did a pretty good job, and I realized that they couldn't show that because all the kids would scream and cry. And,
yeah.
But there's definitely points.
What if there was a huge scene in the movie where the halibut is going through its metamorphosis and it's making all these noises and its eyes are going from here and its whole
that doesn't sound accurate.
Its whole endoskeleton is just morphing and its eyes are popping over
this.
The side of its head, growing pains, and it's like freaking out, and then it's like credits.
My eyes are changing. Help. Oh, this is normal. Okay. Jesus, where were we? Oh, so
sharks.
They are like vegetarians in this movie, in like an AA program. And then one of them smells blood and his like eyes turn black and he goes into this full attack mode.
Feeding frenzy,
right. And so I just wanted to ask if that is, because it's kind of a classic movie trope.
So you're asking about the feeding frenzy vegetarianism?
Like if there's sharks that are vegetarians, is a good question. But also, when a shark is swimming around, probably hungry already,
right?
How much of a difference does it make when it actually gets a sense of, oh, there's blood nearby? Does
it
just
go
crazy?
We've heard that our whole lives. Like, don't swim if you have a cut or if you're bleeding,
you're
because
doomed.
The sharks smell the blood and you're going to die. Didn't know you had that tattoo. Okay,
so let me start, I guess, with the vegetarianism, because it seems obvious that they wouldn't be, but it turns out that there actually are some, not that are vegetarian, but that can process plant matter, which is actually, like, for the shark field was a pretty big thing when that was found. And so that some hammerheads actually can. And so one of those characters was a hammerhead.
Right.
So he could totally, like, deal with some of that plant matter for a little while.
Okay.
No other sharks are going to be eating vegetarian. So
gotcha.
Feeding frenzy. Yeah, you can definitely induce a feeding frenzy. That's what, I hate to say it, but certain filmmakers will do, and they'll chum in the water and like get the sharks all crazy because they just, it's like being in a whole room in a ding-dong factory, right? And so you're just like, you smell it everywhere and you don't know where it's coming from, and so it kind of overwhelms your senses and let's say you haven't eaten in a week, right?
Right
and you're
right.
in ding-dongs, and so you're just kind of
going nuts.
Going for everything, right?
Yeah.
But I hate to bring it down to lowbrow, but you can menstruate in the water and you're probably okay around sharks, right?
Oh, really?
That's good to know.
Yeah. So, I mean, they know you're there anyways, whether they smell you or, are smelling
not that big of a deal if you're bleeding.
I mean, you don't want to bleed out like your entire guts.
Sure.
But little bits of blood.
Well, you don't want to bleed out your entire guts because you probably just don't.
Turns
do
out
that.
It's really not good for you.
And it's annoying.
Weird. Oh, I want a headache. Yeah.
I feel dizzy. I hate this.
Where's my intestines? Yeah, stuff like that.
That's annoying. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so good to know. Guys, if you're swimming in the ocean and you have a little cut, don't freak out.
Don't freak out.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Misty does it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, she loves it. Okay, so fish tanks.
So I wore my fish tank socks too.
Oh, really?
To bring it there for Jackie.
Oh my god.
I need those. Nice. We're gonna post a picture of that on Instagram. Don't worry. Her
the
socks are fantastic.
The manta ray necklace, the
fish tank socks,
and the water
bottle.
And the octopus purse too.
Oh my god, she does have an octopus.
And when I complimented when we first got here, and I complimented her water bottle, she said, "I actually don't specialize in octopods." And I was like, "Oh my god, I love you so much."
And we're best friends. Yeah. Automatic. Okay, so yeah, I wanted to ask if fish tanks were humane, because I know it's a common thing for people to kind of make fun of, but you know, we have a specialist here, so I figured I'd ask you your thoughts. If, you know, is it something that people shouldn't do?
That's a really rough question. So it's kind of like zoos, right? That certain people will be for and certain will be against.
Right.
So,
because it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I go into somebody's
house.
People
claim that a zoo. People that are for a zoo, they claim that it's more of a conservation effort, and it's like
there's
this.
Two talking points for zoos, right? First, for breeding population. So, for example, gorillas or something that there's not very many
don't
of.
They almost never breed in zoos, though, because they fucking aren't home and they hate it, and they're just like, get me out of here. I should be in the Amazon. Tight. Okay, so that's one talking point.
So breeding purposes, and then, you know, getting people interested. So people really aren't interested in things that they haven't seen for the most part, but like, if you think back to the first time you went to a zoo and you saw an elephant, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, elephants are ridiculously smart.
Yeah.
And so, like,
gorgeous.
It, like, hurts my heart to see it, but at the same time, if you're a kid and you want kids to care about elephants, having them see an elephant, you know, kind of sparks that interest. Or going to an aquarium and seeing your shark for the first time, right?
Which is kind of what happened to me. Did fantastically, by the way. Sorry to interrupt, but just like I was watching the movie, thinking this is so great for kids because it looks beautiful and like you want to help. You know, if you hear the coral reefs are dying after watching Finding Nemo, it's a tragedy. But beforehand, you're like, oh, whatever, stuff in the ocean.
Yeah,
I don't know
what that means.
We're like 15 years out or something from Finding Nemo. How many kids are in high school right now that are going, I'm definitely going to be a marine biologist now and care about protecting the ocean now. So,
but you were saying you got into sharks because of a aquarium or something?
Going to aquariums and seeing them, going like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Like,
pretty sweet.
So it's kind of that mixed bag, right?
Okay.
But personal aquariums where they take reef fish, like kind of what happened to Nemo, right, is the diver just scooped it up and took it, which, first of all, kids, that's illegal. Yeah. Don't do that.
You have
to have a permit. But
take rocks off the beach. So leave the fish alone.
Also, just quick side note, leave the rocks. Like, none of this stuff is yours.
Good point.
Just leave it all, look at it, appreciate it, and maybe go home then.
Yeah, take a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But so that's kind of the problem with especially the coral aquarium trade is people taking it off the wild rather than doing a breeding in tanks. And so yeah, it's kind of a bag of worms. You just opened that one.
The fish would prefer to be in the ocean, not in fish tanks, for sure.
Yeah.
We know that.
I mean, unless it's a Nemo, that would die anyway.
Right, so maybe him best spot.
When you bring it back to the real truth and the darkness of it, it's funny every time. Unless Nemo would be dead.
Okay, I have one last question here. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and do a fun game, which involves some beautiful music. But here's the last one. They mention that when you flush a fish, it dies.
Okay,
is that true? Because people
in the movie they don't say it. Oh,
I thought they do. No,
no. In the movie they say when it's dead, you flush it.
Oh, okay.
But they remember they were trying to get what's the guy with the scar?
Willem Dafoe.
Oh yes, Willem Dafoe was trying to get.
I don't remember his name.
To get Nemo into any like the toilet or anywhere.
All drains
lead to the ocean. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, give us a comment on both.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
If you will.
So yeah, there's a couple problems with that. Obviously, Nemo is a marine fish,
mm-hmm.
and presumably the dentist is not using salt water in your mouth when you rinse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going down into the sewer, which then goes to your sanitation district, which then gets processed for quite a while, and then, eventually pumped out, but that fish would be
super dead
from going in the
crazy dead.
But they sort of make it like he went into the sanitation section, but like popped out
somehow they had a hole in the sanitation. Can you imagine all the like poop and things that were coming out of that if that was the case? I mean, that's a whole different Finding Nemo. It's just his trip through the sanitation.
Yeah.
Oh my god, his little tiny flipper just covered in all sorts of shit. Oh, little guy.
I mean, I like that they at least tried to make it make sense with this pipe and then he pops out. I don't know.
Right.
It's better than just he goes into the drain and then
and
he's in
the ocean. Right.
Yeah. Or they could have had like the bird accidentally, you know.
That was kind of my thing the whole time, to be honest with you. I thought they have a good relationship with this pelican or whatever it is. I don't know.
Which is not native to Australia. Ooh. Also, that's a California bird.
Whoops. What would it have been if it was in Australia, like the closest, you think?
Good God, in Sydney? I have no idea.
Okay, some weird bird. So this supposed pelican, or whatever it is, I figured they could have just, because the top of the fish tank is just open.
Yeah,
so couldn't
he just
like
to him all
scoop
the time.
Them up? Yeah, just scoop them up, take them to the ocean.
Yeah, that's a bit of a...
I don't know.
I always have questions with that.
Plot point.
I could have fixed that minute 4.
Yeah. Could have just scooped them out. So anyways, I had a problem with that. Okay, so we will be right back here on Bad Science. We're going to play some games, so stay tuned.
What do you think about SeaWorld, Misty? Okay. Thought that'd be fun.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
Okay, we're back, guys, and we're going to do a few games here before we get into the super knowledgeable part of the show. And so this first one, we call Carl Say Again.
Carl Say Again?
And I just take parts of movies where somebody's spitting off some scientific jargon and play it, and then have the scientist explain a little bit of what they're talking about. So in this movie, we have the eagle spotted ray. Is that right?
Spotted eagle ray.
Spotted eagle ray. Oof, almost. And he takes the kids on like a little tour and is giving them a bunch of interesting facts. So let's take a listen to that, and then we'll see if we can decipher it.
Let's name the zones, the zones, the zones. Let's name the zones of the open sea.
Oh, you better stay with me.
Epilogic, mesopelagic, bathyal, abyssopelagic. All the rest are too deep for you and me to see.
Huh, I wonder where my class has gone.
Oh, there you are. Come aboard, explorers. All knowledge exploring is oh so lyrical when you think thoughts that are empirical.
Dad, you can go now.
Well, hello, who is this?
I'm Nemo.
Well, Nemo, all new explorers must answer a science question.
Okay.
You live in what kind of home?
In an anemone.
Okay, okay, don't hurt yourself. Welcome aboard, explorer!
Just so you know, he's got a little fin. I find if he's having trouble swimming, I let him take a break, 10, 15
Dad,
minutes.
Dad, it's time for you to go now.
Don't worry, we're going to stay together as a group. Okay, class, optical orbits up front. And remember, we keep our superesophageal ganglion to ourselves. That means you, Jimmy.
Oh, man!
Oh, I like Bob.
Bye, Nemo!
Bye, Dad!
Bye, son! Be safe.
Sweet. So...
Albert Brooks's voice.
Amazing. Heaven.
Okay.
Nails it. So we have two things I wanted to ask about because we already talked about anemones. So we have the zones.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to ask about
esophageal
ganglion.
Something sounds like esophagus. So it's like they're super esophageal ganglion. My guess is external breathing apparatus.
Wow.
So super esophageal,
ganglion.
Above the esophagus, ganglion, I think he's just meaning an appendage for that. Mm. Because I don't know what fish he was talking about that would have the super esophageal ganglion. He said Jimmy, but I don't know what fish
Jimmy is. Good point.
So I didn't see what his appendage actually was, but
right.
Yeah, so it would be sort of above the esophagus.
Okay. My guess was like skin.
Anybody know?
Like, because he says, keep your super esophageal ganglion to yourself.
I thought it was that thing of like when you're on a bus and they're like, keep your hands in from the, it was like that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, keep your super esophageal ganglion in. Looking at you, Jimmy. Like,
mm-hmm.
So he has some appendage.
But to himself. So I feel like he's going to be harassing the other fish with
don't
it.
Fight.
Right. So whatever he's doing, he's sticking on something. I mean, I don't know if it was supposed to be an octopod because, I mean, that. It was a little girl, so I don't think it was Jimmy, but...
Right, yeah, that's
little
true.
Little girl octopus who's like the little pink puff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is too much to bear. I get it.
And the zones, they totally forgot his own.
Oh! They left one out?
They left the Hadal Zone, right? Named for Hades, which is the deepest part of the ocean.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, but he says, like, the other zones I mean, he says zones, plural, I think. But he says, like, we can't
stay
see
away from
those.
The deep parts.
Yeah, they wouldn't be going to the abyssal zone either if that was the case. So none of those fish would be going to any of those zones except for basically the epipelagic zone.
Epipelagic zone.
Yes.
That's
so
where...
The upper part that you would swim in is epipelagic.
And close to the surface, coral reefs around.
Yeah, so coral reefs are shallow water.
And
the reason is they do photosynthesis just like a plant, right? So except for they're animals, and so they have little symbiotic... bacteria that's doing all the work making the food, and so they have to have light.
Right.
And so most of the zones he's talking about don't have light.
Don't
at
need
all,
light.
Right.
Okay. Very cool. So I have a question about those deep sea fish in a second, but first I want to play a game.
What a cliffhanger!
Yeah. Keep people teased. You know. I don't even know if that's on purpose or not. So Thomas Newman did the music for this movie, and he's one of my favorite composers. He's absolutely brilliant, and I didn't realize that he was doing the music until a moment in the film towards the end where something sparked up and I was like, is this friggin' Thomas Newman over here? This is fantastic. So I want to play that moment first. Go ahead.
Keep swimming! Just keep swimming! That's it!
It's working!
Chills.
Yeah,
same.
Come on, let's get to the bottom. Keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Almost there. Keep swimming.
Keep swimming. Keep
swimming.
Wow.
I mean... It's unbelievable. Just the audio alone, I feel like, takes you on an emotional roller coaster right there.
So I kind of wish he would just, like, compose my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Making coffee.
It would be so dramatic.
Yeah, I wish he wouldn't compose mine. It's dramatic
crying
enough.
Crying all the time.
I mean, yeah, I'm in my head enough. And then I have that soundtrack. I'm just like...
Okay, so the game here is called I Thomas Knew It Man.
It's a game based on the best composer. It's I Thomas Newman.
And I want to play a few of my favorite Thomas Newman scores and see if you guys can guess what they're from. Okay. And I want you to go first, Misty, because Jackie's in the biz.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you'll know them.
No pressure.
I've seen 11 movies.
Finding Nemo's
total.
Two of them.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So let's play the first I Thomas Knew It Man.
Okay, so, yeah, I totally recognize it, but what is it from? It's very Americana. Field of Dreams?
Oh, no, but you're very close with your one of those words.
Oh, something with the word American in it.
I think, yes.
American,
take a guess if you want to guess.
American Beauty?
American Beauty is correct. Did you know?
I did not know. Okay. I was going to say you knew. Arrival.
That's funny.
Like when they're like in the field before it's like all alien-ish, there's like some really...
Tense moments.
Tense piano score-y, quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, that one to me also just the music gets me in a completely different headspace from whatever I was thinking about. Love that American Beauty score. Okay, let's hear the next one. Go.
So someone's dying?
there was death in the movie.
Braveheart?
No, not Braveheart. Jackie?
I mean, I enjoyed it so much. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll hazard a guess for fun, but
sure.
I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen Arrival?
Yeah.
Arrival in?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Not Arrival either.
Oh, it's from television 6 feet Under.
Oh my God, no! But I'm just going to give this away. That's the next example I have.
No.
Yes.
No.
6 feet Under.
No.
Is by Thomas Newman, the theme, and it's one of my favorites.
I feel weird, and that's weird. I don't
it's
know
not that
why
weird.
I thought, oh, because you guys because, had people die. But otherwise,
well,
I'm
no,
like,
because the I feel like the compositionally, like he makes kind of similar-ish stuff.
Yeah.
So you probably, you know, something got triggered there. But anyways, this movie, I can give you guys like hints, maybe.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman is in this movie.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Okay. To be fair, I've only seen that once when I was like 15.
Oh, okay. Worth a rewatch.
It's been a while.
I'd say.
Yeah.
One of the best of all
fantastic,
time.
It's amazing.
Tim Robbins. Yeah.
I remember taking a road trip with my dad. My dad is a postal historian. Long story. Anyway, we were driving because he does these like trade shows all over the country. We were driving to like Maryland or something, and it was hours in the car and from New York. And he had just seen Shawshank. And in the entire drive, maybe 2.5-3 hours, he explained it beat for beat from beginning to end. And my dad's like very New York. He's like, then there was a rock hammer and a fucking Bible. But like the entire, I mean, the
so
detail
funny.
With which my dad explained this movie, to this day, one of my favorites of all time. But
yeah.
And I've seen it multiple times. Ethan and I were talking about that the other day. I've seen like maybe 4 movies more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And Shawshank is one of them. I've probably seen it 5 times.
Yeah. So there you go. A
Still
starling.
Didn't recognize it.
Yeah. A suggestion.
Still didn't recognize the score.
Recommendation. So let's hear a little bit of that 6 feet Under theme just so we can all enjoy it and not even be thinking about anything else, not even need to guess.
Wow. My guess is 6 feet Under.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same.
Let's check it out. I'm not going to say yes or no.
So good.
It's unbelievable.
You can also do Attenborough,
ding, ding, ding,
right?
Ding, ding,
like
ding,
that. It totally sounds like it's birds on a beach doing a mm-hmm. like a little dance.
Yeah. He should have scored, yeah, Blue Planet or Planet Earth or whatever.
Why didn't
it is.
He?
I don't know. I don't know who did. It's probably some, you know, Hans
yeah.
Zimmer, someone also
yeah, someone
extraordinary.
Also amazing.
Yeah. But anyway,
my
I thought
Uncle
that was
Harvey. What? Surprise?
Whoa.
Crazy. Sounds
No, I thought that was really fun and really crazy that you guessed even that it was a show and that it was 6 feet Under. They don't sound very similar.
You know, nothing about it makes sense to me. I mean, obviously
right.
a folder opened in my brain that I didn't give permission. It just mm-hmm. something just happened.
Okay, so let's get into the deep sea. Let's dive into the deep sea,
wow,
shall we?
Here it goes.
Oh, well done.
So these are some, and I've always been infatuated with this section of the ocean because we don't get to see it much. And then whenever we do see stuff, it looks like sci-fi alien pictures. You know,
yeah.
These fish are like frightening, which is one of my questions. Just why do they look so much scarier than other fish?
What's up with the light up one?
And right, why some of them light up, some of them, what do I have? Oh, like the pressure, like they can survive the pressure, and so maybe that has something to do with it, but anyways.
Yeah, so okay, so I'm gonna be the scientist here and say like what you're talking about is deep sea is actually not deep sea.
Whoa.
So that's the majority of the sea is under this mesopelagic zone, which is where the anglerfish would be found, and it's actually not all that deep compared to other zones, right?
Oh
so it's
God.
Not the abyss.
Love
which
this
is,
start, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing start.
So,
great start. Everything you know is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything that you think you know.
The internet's dumb, and then she
right.
goes.
I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I actually work on fish in deep water, so mesoplagic fish as well. And yeah, they totally look scary, and before I take students out, they're like, oh my God, these things are going to be so scary. And then we bring them up, and they're like that big, and you can't see this because it's a podcast, but it's
yeah.
like, you know,
like
a couple
protractor
a couple
size.
Inches.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
very
Compass
big,
Rose.
Right? There are some big fish, but really not, right? And
yeah.
and almost all of them light up, actually. So
wow.
there's a whole bunch of them that are just, it's just lights everywhere, blues and reds, and just really beautiful.
It's unbelievable that evolutionarily they are in the dark.
But there's no light, yeah.
So they need to have light.
It's not what you think it's for, right? Because so, like, red is not easily seen. They don't have necessarily photoreceptors, the thing in your eye that sees red, except mm-hmm. for the same kinds of fish. So they think that it's for mating and things for certain ones, right?
Okay.
So the angler in Nemo is a little different because it's basically got that little angler to bring things in, right? So
okay,
a lot of plankton are attracted to light, and a lot of plankton start very deep like that, and then they move up at night, and so that they're right at the surface, and then in the daytime they move back down.
Whoa.
And so they do see light, and they are attracted to it. So actually that's a way, if you want to see sort of some deep sea fish, if you will, at night, is you just put a light in the water, and they'll come up to the light.
Oh,
yeah.
My, what a great magic trick.
Yeah, you're probably not going to see like the sea monster type, right?
Yeah, but, yeah.
But yeah,
still super cool.
I mean, little mctophids, which are like,
what is
everything
it
eats a mctophid.
Mctophid.
MC?
Yeah, MAC or MIC, I guess, mctophid.
MIC. Mctophid.
Wow, so not like a fun Irish last name.
T-O-P-H-I-D.
I went to high school with a kid named Jimmy Mctophid.
Yeah. Yeah, they all have crazy names. Stomiids and mctophids.
Oh.
Onoriids, which is what the anglerfish is.
Onoriids.
So yeah, can you, because you were saying you do dives, could you get down there?
So I don't dive for the fish. So what we have to do, it takes me 6 hours to get those fish. And so we go out on a boat and then we have to trawl. And in order to get, so trawling is like a big net, right? The thing in Nemo that everybody is so angry about because the fish are swimming down, that's totally what I do.
Whoa.
And so, but it takes like 3 hours for the net to get down to where you want it to be.
Mm.
And then you trawl for 20 minutes and then you bring it back up for 3 hours and you've got a little tiny bottle of light up fish. And so the first thing we do when we bring those fish up is we turn off all the lights on the boat.
Uh-huh.
And then you can just see them lighting up everywhere. Like,
wow, unbelievable.
But then they're, I mean, it's like in a sea table. I mean, a table this big would hold all the fish we would get for that.
So they're
and
all
that,
tiny.
And that would be successful.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not all tiny. There are definitely some that are a little bit bigger, but most of the fish down there are going to be fairly small.
It's fascinating.
Oh, mctophid.
Mctophid.
Ethan's new name to me is mctophid for sure.
I'm honored.
I'm like, what's going on, mctophid?
That sounds really
like,
cool to me.
It sort of sounds like what you'd call that. Like my brother, when I was a little kid, he called me a bunch of things. One was like nectarhead. One was like, you know what I mean?
Nectarhead?
Yeah, just like telling me how stupid, like I'm dumb. And that's what mctophid sounds like. All right, then mctophid. Like,
yeah, it is an insulting
like
sound.
Insult.
Yeah, you're right, mctophid. Yeah,
it
or like the dumb
be,
guy in a movie.
Because that's the fish that all the other fish eat.
That's a, yeah.
Oh, perfect. So yeah, it's a fitting name.
Like, but it also it sounds like it's mctophid, but you're saying it in a Bostonian accent.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things I like
Topher
about it.
Also just sounds like a name of someone you'd make fun of.
Totally.
Right? No offense to anyone named Topher. I'm sure you're awesome listening to this. I'm just saying the sound of the name. Name for some reason.
Yeah.
Topher,
not
Tophid,
your fault.
McTophid.
You didn't choose it, although your name's probably Christopher and you did choose it. So it is a little on you, but anyway.
Right, yeah. Chris, just go Chris. Mm-hmm. Everyone out there named Christopher, go Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump to whales. I know you you have some specialty in whales. Or
no,
you...
I don't. I was just asking because they're another filter feeder.
Oh, gotcha. Filter feeders.
What that... an issue. Yeah, right.
That's a specialty of yours, filter feeders?
Filter feeding is. So
Got
that's
it.
What manta do. And so I work on like the biggest sharks and rays that eat the smallest thing in the ocean, which is my specialty. But with the whale, that was when you asked me earlier when I like was moved to tears.
Yes.
It was kind of in anger, but it was because of the whale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have serious issues. Number one, when she was carrying around the fish, like, why didn't she just open her mouth and let him out? Why did she have to blow
him
out?
Well, drama, I would answer.
Okay. Well, didn't she have to blow him out so they would go further?
So the other issue is that whales don't blow out water. They blow out air because they're air breathers. And that blowhole is essentially their nose, and their nose is not connected to their mouth like you and me.
Oh, so they couldn't get through there.
So they would not have blown out, right?
Oh, that's a big discrepancy.
I mean, it's a big issue. And the fact that the whale had a uvula, the little hangy ball in your throat, whales don't have that either.
It looked like very
human. A human mouth.
Right,
yes.
So that's when I was like, this is dumb.
Oh, man.
But
that is
really.
A little bit strange.
And also, at this point, you were just like, Nemo would be dead in the first 3 seconds of this movie, so you were pretty pissed probably the whole
that
time.
That fin?
Good luck, Tiny. Yeah, I hear you.
Good luck, mctophid. I was going to say, your mentor was the science advisor on Finding Nemo.
Yeah,
so
right.
Do you think that that's his fault? Adam Summers?
Adam Summers, right. So is that his fault? No. Pixar, I don't think, cares when they need a plot point.
Right.
And
I was just hoping you would throw Adam under the bus.
Well, I can a little bit,
there's
right? So there definitely, there's like, I think I counted somewhere around about 100 inaccuracies or so, close to, in the movie. Biologically speaking, like, the sharks don't have their claspers, which are essentially shark penises. They have two of them. And none of the sharks had it, so they were all, like, cruising around, I mean, whatever.
Just dickless sharks?
Dickless.
Can I just say, though, like,
two less than they should have?
Right.
What?
But I've actually had this conversation with Adam before, and pretty much almost all of them, except for I think he said three, were purposeful by Pixar and not wanting it because they thought that sharks with penises would scare kids.
Yeah,
and
I'm scared right now.
Wouldn't animate well. So, I mean,
like
bravo
I
to them.
I need to agree with that. Wouldn't animate well is an understatement. Just two floppy shark dicks in every shot. Yeah. I don't know if I need it.
I mean, but they don't look the same as a human, so it's not as scary.
I know, but I feel like it's like any cartoon. Like, we can leave out the anatomy, and that one's not.
That part
the rest of them, I'm like, whoa, uvula, like, why draw it if you don't need
to?
Right,
it's not a part of...
Right, and if you can't blow air out the blow... like. I can't blow water out the
blowhole.
But
if they're going to make the whale's mouth look like a human mouth, they might as well give these sharks dicks, like human dicks.
I'm with you.
You're with me, okay.
Huge human dicks. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so yeah, my question was...
Poor Misty has to sit here with us.
No, she's doing great. Misty's
loving
it. Oh
my gosh, she's doing killing.
We're talking like she's not here.
Yeah. Anyway,
don't mind me.
No, I like Misty.
Oh, she's back. Oh, I thought she left. Oh, hey.
Hey, Misty. So can anything survive in a whale's mouth or in a whale's body at all?
In a whale's body, like once it's swallowed? Probably right. Not such a good idea, right? Because it's still going to have digestive juices and things. In its mouth, totally. So they don't, I mean, like there are reports of big things being swallowed, but they have an esophagus and it closes. Mm. And so really it's not swallowing things it doesn't want. And it's not very big. So like I couldn't fit in a whale's esophagus.
Oh, wow.
And it would know I was there, and it would totally spit me out.
Yeah, just even if you were a little clownfish?
Clownfish is debatable. So if it got a clownfish, I mean, they can do some fishes, and they do sometimes. So, yeah.
Are whales vegetarians?
No, they eat plankton. Yeah, right. So little krill, little shrimp and things.
Oh, like the whale, an enormous whale has a tiny esophagus?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ethan's shaking his head like he knew that.
I did know that. It's one of the only things I knew.
And I'm not specifically talking about marine biology.
No. I know my name. I know the days of the week.
And the size of a whale.
What a whale eats. For some reason, I knew that. Okay, so the East Australian current.
So it goes Tuesday?
Yeah. No, it's Munders, and then Tuesday, and then...
Friday. Cool.
Yeah, anyway, and then Friday and the weekend. Okay, so the East Australian current, the EAC, is a real thing.
Yeah.
And of course, it sounded like it in the movie. I don't know why I'm saying it like, I can't believe it's real. But so it goes to Sydney, or it's already in that area?
Yeah, so it goes past the east coast of Australia.
Okay.
But I mean, that's crazy the way they drew it, right? So it would be like hundreds of kilometers across, not like this little jet thing that they, I mean, they were like on a slip and slide, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Like
and
on like a fast tube
down this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes roughly 3 miles an hour or so. So, I mean, you're hauling, but you're not hauling like, I mean, Crush was like surfing this thing.
Which, by the way, Crush, one of my favorite characters, voiced by the director, Andrew Stanton. Very cool. Yeah.
But also, can I please bring something up quickly?
Yeah, Nemo.
Okay. No, it's me, Jackie.
Oh.
The baby turtle.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You just love the baby turtle.
The eyes on that baby turtle and that mini shell that's painted so nice with like little red.
Yeah, yeah. And I like when you can't understand him, where he's telling them like the very important directions of how to get out of the current. And they're like,
okay, guys, it's going to be a great jump today. And he's just like getting super, okay.
Yeah,
anyway, I had nothing to add other than, can I talk to you about the baby turtle? Go on.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that all post podcast. We'll just sit here for a few hours and talk about that.
And also no parental care.
No parental care?
Yeah, in turtles. Right? They would lay the eggs on the beach and they leave. And so...
That's a big one.
Turtles don't like school together.
In any fish?
In fish, for sure.
But, wait a minute, but that's such a shame now in my head. I love turtles. They don't hang out as families.
No, they lay their eggs and then they leave and the babies go off into the ocean. And turtles don't really like school together. So
they don't have friends or mates.
They have mates. And actually, turtle mating is really scary. So when you're diving and it's turtle season, like they tell you don't go in the water because there are written reports of people being molested by turtles and getting...
Whoa.
Because you look like a turtle, right? You have a scuba tank on your back.
Yeah, yeah. I look like a turtle.
You look like a turtle. And
I mean,
so
right
turtle
now.
Mating is like brutal. They will like latch onto the female and bring you down to depth and hold on. And
so are they like this
like,
sounds
don't
crazy.
Go in the water when turtles are in mating season.
Okay, turtles
and they're
are
big enough
season.
To grab you?
Oh, yeah. They're
turtles
big.
Are big.
Yeah.
Do they have a like somewhat of a relationship with the female, or do they just like
no,
I
just
got you,
mate
we're going
and be done, right? And then the female will go up on the beach.
So
and
weird
lay
to
her
think about turtles as like solo wolves, you know? Like they don't. I don't know. I always thought
but
they were
in a pack,
non-consensual,
right?
Oh yeah, good point. I just meant like a cool rebel on a motorcycle, you know, like a wolf, but like I don't know, lone wolf.
Wolf
I guess that's
Blitzer.
What I was thinking. Yeah, like Wolf Blitzer, how he just doesn't do anything on with a team. He's on his own, man. The guy's rogue. Yeah, I don't know. I thought turtles would be like really caring, loving,
yeah,
like hang
yeah.
out together.
Wow, that is really interesting to think about. They don't not. It's kind of. Anyway, that's so funny because I don't know that they have like secondary emotions to care, but my brain, I'm like, they don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sad about it.
I mean, occasionally when they like hook up in turtle season.
It doesn't sound friendly.
It doesn't sound friendly. It sounds lustful.
It's a big turtle hug.
I guess that's true.
I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah, let's take the
poor
right
woman
side.
Turtle being dragged to depth. Sounds like a real turtle hug to me.
And multiple males will fight over a female.
Oh. Well, multiple getter?
So this really doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, maybe. We can. Yeah.
So she doesn't even know who the baby daddy is. Wow. Yeah.
Not that she cares, because she lays her eggs and leaves. She doesn't care about her kids.
Wow.
Which is ideal, right? I mean you
she
have
cares,
two kids.
She covers them up.
Oh, okay. So that's a little bit of...
So like instinctually, she's like, I probably shouldn't let these die.
Yeah,
but
let's
then
not
once
let it dry
born,
out.
And she's like, I'm out.
Then yeah. What does she do? I got
to
go eat.
Yeah, goes out to eat and feed and then...
Have my own life.
Mate again.
Wow. Oh.
Learning a lot here. Okay. How about jellyfish? You guys been stung by jellyfish before?
Yes.
Is pee-pee thing true? Where you pee on it?
No, don't pee on it. Well, yeah, you can, but that's going to release all of the mantis at once. So instead of like the little bit of sting, you're going to get a hell of a sting.
Whoa.
But then it makes it go away?
Yeah, there are easier ways to get it to go away. If you take salt water, right? It's already in salt water and you salt water it, they'll just wash off without firing on you. If you pee on it, someone's being mean to you. If someone runs over to you, if you get stung by a jellyfish.
Oh, that's actually detrimental. I thought for some reason.
Well, it's not detrimental, but you're going to get stung worse.
Right, right.
Right?
I thought it was like the cure. I don't know
why
I thought that.
Wait, I don't understand though, because how does the saltwater thing work? Because you're getting stung in saltwater. So if saltwater helps you.
Right, so it's a mechanical thing. So if the stinger touches you, it fires. So once it presses on something, it's like a trigger, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you use saltwater, it's already on your leg, but it hasn't fired yet. If you use salt water, it doesn't recognize it as something foreign because they're already in salt water. So they're not like releasing them all the time when they're just swimming around. It's only when a fish touches it, if that makes sense.
Unbelievable. How many times have you been stung?
Once.
Just once.
That was enough.
Was it really bad?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, man. What happened? For how long? What, like, was it bad?
Oh, no. So I was diving and I hit sort of a jelly, kind of like on Nemo, where there was a bunch of jellies. And so
is that what it's called when there's a bunch of them? A jelly?
Or was a jelly. School of jellies.
Okay.
Right. And so I was sort of on the outskirts of it and just happened to get one little sting. And it was a beast, man.
Really?
I mean, I've been stung by a couple different things. Stingrays are the worst. Ooh. Jellies are probably second worst. But, there are degrees to jellyfish stings.
Yeah.
Some of them are deadly. Irukandji in Australia, because all the deadly things are in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Which is
you
why
heard
I have
here,
not
guys.
Gone there
yeah.
yet.
Don't
right?
visit.
And so this was
brought
just
to you
off
by Australian
coast.
Tourism Board.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm sure Australia is beautiful. Don't go in the water.
But it definitely made my eyes like water. And
oh, man. And what about, if you don't mind me asking, of course, when you got stung by a stingray, did that like... Does it last for days? Like, how does that...
Yeah, so that was 100% my fault, by the way.
Oh, great.
So, just so the stingray is cleared, and that was...
Yeah, if he's listening to this.
That was when I was a student, and so I had a project on stingrays when I was a student, and so I was clipping their stingers, and I clipped one, and I had a baby in my hand, so you would like that with a baby.
Wait a minute!
But he was growing, too, so he's growing his second stinger, and so what happens is they grow a new one, and then the first one is replaced, and they do that yearly.
Okay.
And so I didn't realize he had the two, and so I clipped one, thought I was good, used my hands to pick him up, to put him back in the tank, and he nailed me.
Whoa.
And so I was an undergrad at that time, and yeah, it was like hand in hot water, and my eyes turned bright red, and my like professor at the time that was my teacher thought it was sort of hilarious and took pictures of it and shows it now at all of his talks when he goes out and talks about the stingrays off of Seal Beach.
Is that
like
Adam or was it someone else?
No, that's Chris Lowe. He's a shark guy over at Long Beach State.
Just spoke to him.
Yeah, so he was my original mentor before I went to Adam. And yeah, so he thinks it's hilarious. He'll show you pictures every time of what I look like.
So funny.
And it was, I mean, for hours of pain and then for days of just healing and having, I mean, it's a puncture wound on
top
of.
I was just going to say, is it a puncture? Yeah, what does it look like?
It's a puncture.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because it's a sting into, I had it in my hand. This is why I'm pointing at my hand where nobody can see it. But so it went into my hand. And then it also has this this venom, right, that like makes your hand swell
up. Was there a cure? Like, what do you
hot water. It denatures the protein, yeah. So it makes
denatures the protein.
No, of course. I know. Believe me, I once got a rash paddleboarding.
I was reminding you.
Yeah, I once got a rash, so believe me, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Denature the protein.
I had to denature the protein of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, hydrocortisone cream.
And you still love stingrays?
Still love stingrays.
Okay.
Because it was my fault.
Right.
Mm.
That's a life lesson.
I know, I mean, Steve Irwin, his fault.
Oh,
I know.
God,
I know. I said it. See, I mean,
wow.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
But he was harassing it.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
what ate him again?
It, not eaten. He got killed by a stingray. It punctured his heart.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's an awful accident, but absolutely his fault.
Man.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
I feel like we might be learning too much on this podcast.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so I feel like I got to pretty much everything. I wanted to mention how Marlon becomes funny at the end of the movie. Like, they make it a point throughout the film that he can't tell a joke.
He can't tell, and he's a clownfish.
And I thought this was cool.
As a marine biologist, though, like, I have met a ton of clownfish, worked on a ton of clownfish, and they're almost never funny.
Yeah, that is rare.
That is rare, yeah.
Okay, thank you for clearing that
up. The funnier ones are the ones who metamorphosize into eyes on side of brain, head, temple. Mm-hmm. That's way funnier.
Yeah, that is hilarious every time.
Yeah.
As a comedian, though, maybe you can weigh in, because I feel like they were giving some sort of message here that as you gain life experience and take risks and kind of, like, let go of your own... I don't know what it is, like control over your life or something. You can now just tell stories and be funny and be charming.
I didn't feel it was that you could be funny. I feel it's that you could be who you truly are. And if what you truly are as a clownfish is, let's say, in this example, funny, then when you do let go of all that like insane need to control and being neurotic, you can sort of, who you really are can actually shine and you can take a load off, as opposed to like, I think if a different kind of fish were the star of that movie, then when they let go of that control, it wouldn't be a joke they'd be able to tell. It would be whatever their lesson was.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So he's living his best life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Like living his truth. And in his case, because he's a clown, it's being funny.
And it would be a female would be his truth.
Yeah.
And she'd be bigger and she'd have a harem and Nemo would be dead and it's Christine Nemo's fault. I mean.
Finding Nemo's corpse. So the other one, and to really end on a high note here, ocean pollution. So there's a humongous garbage heap in the Pacific.
Right.
Oh, well, I'm sure there are more than one, huh?
And so I didn't want to. Right, but there's one like really famous.
The Pacific.
Yeah.
Garbage heap off of in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. So I wanted to, you know, make sure that we spoke about this, you know, briefly. We don't have to bum everybody out. But this is real and people should be aware of it. And so I just wanted your take on it. How like bad is it, I guess?
Okay. So, I think the garbage heap is a pretty good visual for people, but even though it's miles long, I don't think that's what's bad, if that makes sense from a marine biologist standpoint, because everything's pretty big there. It's straws and things, and it's things that people can sort of wrap their minds around that I use that and it's there.
Right.
Right. But there's a couple big issues in the ocean, and it's not so much the garbage heap, right? Mm-hmm. It's microplastics in the water, which is when all of that stuff starts breaking down and fish start eating it, and then you ingest the fish, and it's just going up the chain, and that's everywhere. I mean, almost every fish that I pull out, almost every sand crab on the beach, they're all just full of microplastics.
No.
So that's huge, right? And the other issue
Does it kill them and hurt them? And then
you eat it, and you know it's just up the ladder, and that's certainly an issue for sure. But you know, microplastics are still second to ocean acidification, which would change the whole story of Nemo, right? Is right now, if you're thinking about the coral reef where they lived, and this whole thing is set. I mean, that's bleaching like crazy right now, right? And so that's really that imminent issue that, as a marine biologist, we're the most concerned. We're sort of compartmentalizing all these terrible things, right? But like, what is the pressing issue is actually not so much the garbage patch. It's, well, okay, we just bleached more than half of
how are we
the Great Barrier
it?
Reef. climate change. So world getting warmer, mm-hmm. right? Carbon emissions going out, people not
I just never heard the term bleaching.
Bleaching is, so when a coral, it has a bunch of little animals living on it in a colony, and that's what gives it that beautiful color.
Mm.
And so what happens is when temperatures get too warm, and it happens through global warming, we don't use that term anymore, right?
Why?
People don't like it.
They think, turns people off.
So people, like certain change, presidential right? people, like to say that because it's cold,
certain presidential people.
Yeah, right. Certain presidents we may or may not have right this moment.
That's so funny.
Right. They talk about how, oh, well, it was colder this year in this one place.
Sure.
And so the
and then internally I feel with fire.
Right. Global so warming sort of isn't happening it because it was colder in one place. And so just the scientific community is saying, no, it's climate change, meaning it's gonna get colder in certain places and warmer in other places.
And it's only and to be exact then like it's only 99.8% of scientists that
Yeah, it's
claim
just
it's
everybody.
Not everyone. It's okay. just every single
yeah, it's
scientist.
Every single
except like one
scientist.
Guy who's being paid.
But, right.
Right.
Got it. Okay. So I just
one guy
to make sure.
To be clear, a gas company is out there saying no, it's not,
and spewing some crap.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, if you guys can, you know, get behind the cause, you know, try to help us with climate change in any way that you can. I feel like that would help the entire.
And you
ocean
pick up
life.
Your trash when you're at the beach.
Yeah, pick up your trash.
You know, don't let it go down the storm drains because those really do go to the ocean, right?
Oh, there
That's
you go.
What Nemo should have been thrown in a storm drain.
Storm drain.
He would have made it out. Right?
And then instantly died because of that tiny flipper butt.
Right.
You know, would have made it to the ocean.
Yeah.
To the ocean. All right, great. Anything you guys want to plug? Glow is on Netflix, all episodes streaming.
Hey, guys. Watch Glow on Netflix, all episodes streaming. Also putting out an EP called Power Fox on Spotify in late July. Search Power Fox on Spotify.
Yeah, Jackie Tone. Just, you know, that's your artist name, right?
Oh, follow me on Instagram. I have nothing else, at Jackie Tone.
There you go.
Except those other things. Thank you. I love this.
Thanks for being here, Jackie.
My pleasure.
It was
thanks
absolute delight. Misty, you have something coming up?
I mean,
project?
I guess I could say follow me on Twitter. So right, I am on Twitter, and I do fish facts. I was doing daily fish facts.
Ooh.
So you can go back and see all the weirdest fish facts I were at FabLab, FABBLAB, which is the name of my laboratory. And I do have something coming out soon. But I might be jumping the gun here, but there will be big announcements of manta filtration coming out soon and knowing how they do what they do. So that should be coming out August-ish.
Okay. New manta info coming
manta
out from Dr. Misty over here. And it was Fab, FABBLAB, Fab
Correct.
Lab.
Fab Lab.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. That's where you can find all their information. Thank you guys so much for joining me again, and we'll see you guys next time.
I just followed Misty on Twitter.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Megan Bates, and our execu-fish producer is Brett Kushner. You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. That's at Bad Science Show for behind the scenes, photos, videos, and games. And also, please feel free to send us an email, badscience@seeker.com. You can request a movie we can do or tell me what a bad job I'm doing and things that I missed. That's cool too. I'll write you back. Again, that's badscience@seeker.com, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.